Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke course. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. It is a Saturday night. We just went ahead and said, you know what, we're going to get to it. We're going to do the what would typically be the Sunday episode. We're going to do it early, right? We've had Tuesday night, me and Wavy D. We had Wednesday night, me breaking down AEW. Thursday, me breaking down NXT and Evolve and talking about the future of wrestling being female. Friday night, or Friday during the day, we had my normal rant episode. Go back and check this whole week. We had something going on from Tuesday to now Saturday. Don't expect another week like this for quite a while. unless you guys can make this, you know, a big thing. So share the podcast, share the YouTube page, share the audio. Like, share, put us in the algorithms. Leave a hey if you're watching this on YouTube. Literally, just leave hey on there. Post a comment. Post some likes. Make this thing big. I've enjoyed myself doing daily content on wrestling. But next week, let's get some housekeeping out the way. Next week, we're going back to the standard Tuesday, Friday schedule. No Sunday show, being that it is Easter Sunday. I'll be very busy during the day. And so then we have WrestleMania that night, night two that night as well. So Tuesday, Friday next week, Tuesday being predictions from me and Wavy D, Friday being an episode that I've planned out. There's a lot going into that episode. It's going to be my final thoughts heading into WrestleMania. And I got a lot. It's going to be a rant style thing. Y'all know how I feel on this WrestleMania build. I'm going to explain my final thoughts going into Mania. That's next Friday. You're definitely going to want to check those two episodes out. But let's get to tonight's episode. We're going to break down SmackDown from Friday night. And let me just start with this. That episode is the definition of filler. This is what happens when Triple H finishes all the major stories, has nothing he needs to tell, and he just has 2 weeks to get us to Mania. And this is what you get. Right, some decent wrestling. We had some very good matches last night. Let me just say that, right? But very little story progression. There were three things. There were three things that I cared about over the period of the whole show. There were three things that I cared about, and we'll talk about those three things. It's Randy Orton. We need some answers. Who's his opponent going to be? Did we get those answers? We'll talk about that. We had a women's tag team gauntlet match. I cared about this. Who's going to be Liv and Raquel's opponent going into Mania, right? And then finally, will they officially make Drew and Priest official, which they did end up doing? And so we'll talk about that as well. Some other things. Let's talk about some of the matches we had, though. Rey Fénix had a near-perfect match against Berto. First off, why are we just calling Humberto? I don't like that. Humberto Carrillo was a great name, right? I don't understand why we got to shorten it to Berto. That could be a nickname that someone calls him backstage, but like his name's Humberto Carrillo. Let's call him that. I don't know why we're We got to shorten it, right? It's kind of crazy to me. So, you know, that match itself was a very entertaining match, right? I'm not the biggest fan of Rey Fénix. I've been highly critical of him in AEW, him and Penta, right? They've come over here and they've shown their stuff while still, right? What I like about, and maybe what it was about Fénix and Penta and AEW was that they were doing everything everyone else was doing, so it didn't feel special. Well, they come over to WWE, Rey Fénix, while there are other people who can work his style, he was the only person on the card. That was the only match where we really got a lot of high fly spots, right? So very good match there, right? But let's talk about these three things that I care about or that I was looking forward to. Let's start with Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest, right? We get the segment. We finally get it official in a Sin City street fight. Y'all know why we needed a stipulation for this match? Because ain't nobody gave two flying shits about this match leading up. Let me tell you something. Making a stipulation the last 2 to 3 weeks of really, you know, putting McIntyre through the glass and then the stipulation of adding the street fight to it. That adds a lot to this match to make it a little bit more interesting. Here's what I wish we got. I know we're not going to get it, but here's what I wish we got in this match. I wish we got a cinematic match, right? How cool would it be if this match is on night one, right? And it's 8 o'clock Eastern time, WrestleMania starting, we get the intro video. We get the introduction, Michael Cole screaming, "Welcome to WrestleMania." We're seeing people walking in, you know, the wrestlers being walking into the show. And as we see Drew McIntyre walk into WrestleMania, we see we see Priest come out and just start, you know, he attacks him in the parking lot, right? And the match starts. Right, and Michael Cole's on commentary, and the match starts, and they start fighting through the parking lot, right? And we see them, you know, fighting down the road, fighting, going down. I mean, Allegiant Stadium's on the strip, if not very, very close to the strip, right? See them fighting down the strip. In Vegas, the Vegas Strip, right? See him going, fighting inside of a casino, right? See him going into, I don't know how far away Fontainebleau, the hotel I think they're staying at, that's where the Hall of Fame is going to be presented. See them fighting in the hotel. See them, right, eventually going the 4 or 5 miles to UFC Apex. See them fighting in an actual street fight. See them going to UFC Apex. Why would that matter? Well, because UFC is part of the WWE branding now, the TKO branding, right? See them fighting a little bit in the Apex. And then have it, like, go throughout the night. And then we get to the point about three-fourths of the way through the night, right? And as far as we know, they're still kicking each other's ass on the street of Vegas, right? And we get to that spot where they announce the attendance for the night, and that segment typically is very dry. It's very quick, and then we get a bunch of like celebration. So imagine sending someone out to announce that, or having like Joe Tessitore there to be like the host of WrestleMania, and he announces that over the speaker system in the arena, and we right, and then all of a sudden you see Priest and McIntyre fighting their way down the ramp. They get in the ring and a ref comes out with them. And then we get the finish of the match, a little 10-minute action between those two to end the match. And they're all beaten and bloodied, having just traveled the streets of Vegas in an actual street fight that we could put as the hook between the shows, right? Or between the matches. I would love that. I think that would be highly creative. We're not going to get it. That requires people to use their brain. But that would be a very fun match, because that it would be a WrestleMania moment, right? But we got it official. It is a street fight, which simply just means you use whatever you want, and there's probably going to be a little bit of blood, right? So we got this match official. We're good, right? We're because it was worrying me that why were they not making this official? Why, right? Now we got it. All right. So the next thing is, then let's talk about Randy Orton. So I want to talk about the gauntlet match last. Let's talk about Randy Orton, right? We open the show with Randy Orton, Nick Aldis in the ring. And Randy teases Nick Aldis getting in the ring and then fighting Orton. Orton says, you know, this is my 20th Mania. I need an opponent. I need to wrestle this. I need this, right? And if you don't give it to me, right, if you don't give it to me, I'm not going to apologize to Mickie James for what I'm going to do to you if you don't give me a match at WrestleMania, right? But we get very little answers as to what that could be, right? Because the segment gets interrupted by Solo Sikoa, right? And if there's anyone on the roster that I don't want to see Randy Orton, it's Solo Sikoa, because it makes absolutely zero sense. The obvious and the best choice would be Nick Aldis. That would be the best choice. Get Nick Aldis strapped up, geared up, let him wrestle one, at least this one Mania match. He's put in work for 20 years in the business. Let him get this Mania moment, right? Doesn't have, right? But he can also take a loss and then go back to being GM, right? But imagine he beats Randy, and then, right, I could see a story where Aldis comes out, he's the opponent, he beats Randy, right? And then Aldis goes backstage and says, Trips, I want more than being a GM role. I think I could go fight Cody for the title, right? Because we do need another, like, that would be a fresh face in the SmackDown roster where Cody hasn't faced him in WWE. There is a story outside of WWE. I do believe Nick Aldis was who Cody chose to wrestle at the first ever. What I'm going to say the first official AEW event, the first ever All In event before, like the year before AEW was created, and Cody ran that event, and everyone said he couldn't get 10,000 people in to watch it, and he did, and that's what essentially started AEW. Or the idea of AEW, right? That first event, I think he fought Nick Aldis, right? That would be a fun little feud to have, especially like leading into like a SummerSlam. That would be fun. I would thoroughly be entertained by that. Because I think it would be told well, right? Nick Aldis is great on the mic. Cody's good on the mic. I'm not the biggest fan of Cody. We all know that, but I think that would be a fun, fresh new story that we could tell on SmackDown. And SmackDown needs something fresh. And so we don't get answers, right? I hope Solo – I don't think Solo's the guy. But here's why I don't think – here's why I think it should be Aldis over someone like Aleister Black. Because Aleister Black – should not come back to the company and immediately lose and in WrestleMania. I think this could be a thing where, okay, he signed. Let's bring him back the Monday after, right? Let's put Aldis Orton on, and then the Monday after or the Friday after, you get Aleister. But even like the Friday before Mania, right? The SmackDown on the 18th would be a good place to debut like an Aleister Black. I wouldn't do it during Mania because I don't necessarily think it would be best to re-debut a guy and have him lose. I don't, and I also don't think Orton would lose to Aleister Black That just seems like something that wouldn't make a lot of sense. This story is complicated because as much as I want to complain, where's the story? I can't, because there was a story, and that story was Kevin Owens, and he got shoot hurt and needed actual surgery. So it's hard to critique anything that happens with Randy Orton, but I wish they would just give us something. Right, because we still, even with Solo coming out, we didn't get like actual answers. I don't know. Solo would be the worst opponent for Randy Orton. It would come out. This is like the strangest thing. Like when his music played, like it literally tanked the segment. But that's where I'm at on the whole Randy Orton thing. I say this is the most common sense thing ever. We need answers on Friday. Because if we go into Saturday or Sunday and whenever Randy's matches and we don't know who he's fighting, like, I think we need to officially make something official leading into the final SmackDown, right? The last thing I want to talk about, though, is Cody, right? As much as I want to hate on Cody, like, this dude's carrying this feud, and I think it's severely unfair, right, that Cody had to carry this feud because there was no momentum when it started. Like, you had Cena do the turn, and then Cody had to carry this thing for 3 weeks without a John Cena peep. And then Cena comes in and is here for 3 weeks, and the momentum starts to build, but Cena's beef seems to be more with the fans than with Cody. And then Cena had to leave again after 3 weeks, and so Cody had to carry it for another 2 weeks by himself. And now Cena's coming back for the last show before Mania, and we need something, right? We need something desperately to make this feud, because a lot of people like the feud, and I don't hate it. I just don't think it's the greatest build. A lot of it is elementary. It's simple. Cena's heel run, and we'll talk about this more in my final thoughts, I consider it a failure so far. I don't necessarily think it's the greatest thing ever. And there's a lot more that I expected from it. So let's talk about this gauntlet match, right? This is going to be a quick episode, right? I've given you a lot of content. This is going to be a quicker episode. Just because here's the thing. SmackDown is boring as shit, right? Like it's better. It's better than Dynamite and Collision on most weeks. But it's dog shit. Like that's not a very high bar to beat. It's dog water, man. You know how Kenny Omega talked about Dookie? SmackDown's Dookie, man. SmackDown's Dookie. There's nothing. And I'm going to talk about that next Friday, about why I think that is and why I think this Mania build has not been the greatest thing ever, and severely lacking from what we've gotten the last 2 years. So let's talk about this gauntlet match. First off, this match is completely just stupid. This just shows how little they care about the women's tag team championship. Shows how little they care about it. Because shout out to Witters, man. He just put in a Road to WrestleMania Awards, like questions for next week. We're definitely doing that. Shout out to you, Witters, if you hear this. Bro hasn't put some questions in a couple weeks. He just gave me some questions for Tuesday's episode. These are great. These are great. Yeah, we'll definitely do those on Tuesday. Anyway, back to the gauntlet and this women's tag division. Like, there's zero build to any story here, right? And obviously you need it to have Liv on the card, because she's Liv Morgan. Probably, I'm going to be honest with you, I love Bianca. I think Bianca's the best all-around wrestler on the roster right now. Just being completely honest with you, a little bit biased, but completely honest. I think Liv Morgan is the most over woman in wrestling right now. I know you got the Toni Storm cult in AEW. You got your Monet cult in AEW. But Liv Morgan, I think, is the most over woman in wrestling, with the look, She's had the best year and a half of her career, the last year and a half. She has to be on WrestleMania. And rather than, you know, I don't mind her being in this title picture or being the champion, but rather than building a legitimate story with some legitimate tag teams, you're going to put a gauntlet match where they got to go through five other tag teams, where six tag teams are going to fight each other to fight Liv Morgan. And four of them, is it four? Three of them are completely thrown together, which is common for this division. Just two random, put them together. These people would work as a tag teams, right? So we start with the first entrance being one of them, being Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, which are the eventual winners of this thing. And I have a lot to say about that. We'll get to that in a minute. The eventual winners of this thing come out first, right? Lyra and Bayley, completely thrown together in the last week. No chemistry, no reason for why they're a tag team. They're just here in a gauntlet to make it to Mania, right? Their first opponents are... shit, who the fuck came out first? Oh, PFC. No. Pure Fusion Collective, Pure Human Caca, whatever the hell you want to call them. Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler haven't been on TV since Sonya Deville has been released. No reason to even believe that they have a chance on winning this gauntlet, much less beating Lyra and Bayley. Very easy, like 3 minute segment, little match here, right? By the way, in each one of these little gauntlet matches, we had a commercial break in them. So most of what you saw was Friday night commercials, like you always get on Fridays. Again, they lost Monday Night Raw. And they lost Tuesday night NXT. And so they lost their ad revenue that WWE provided them. And so they're going to get as much as they can from SmackDown. And it seems like that's all we watch are commercials. But so then the second team comes out. And this is another thrown together team. Maxxine Dupri and Natalya. And Natalya's in the ring for like 32 seconds. If more, right? Or less than a minute. You got Maxxine in there, and she looks good physically and in the ring. Everyone who said Maxxine can't wrestle, you stop lying to yourself. Maxine's training with Natalya, as is B-Fab, by the way. They're good. They're good in the ring. They're not the greatest, but they're good. Maxxine's highly improved in the ring over the last year and a half. But there was no way to expect that they would win, right? Maxxine tries a sharpshooter and gets a roll-up, I believe is how it ended. So you bring up the next team, and it's Caden Carter and Katana Chance, who are former champions, the only legitimate long-term tag team in this division, by the way. And there was zero reason to believe they would win because they haven't been on TV in a long time, right? And when they have been on TV, they've been jobbing out. It's kind of weird seeing them fight Lyra because Lyra was the person they would put with the jobbers, right? So then, you know, they beat Caden and them. So then you bring out B-Fab and Meechan, another thrown-together team, and B-Fab eats the pin. Hopefully B-Fab gets something coming for her in the future because there is potential there. I know talent, and I when I see it, B-Fab is talent. No matter what DJ Wavy D, my co-host on Tuesday, wants to tell you. So then you bring out the final team, the Secret Harvest, Piper Niven, Alba Fire. Guys, This name, Secret Harvest, is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. This is definitely a Road Dogg idea. He's now the head writer of SmackDown. You guys have noticed that it's become shit ever since it's happened. It's because what I said when Triple H took over creative, Vince, you know, was kicked out of the company, and Triple H was named director of creative. And I told you, it's not going to matter as long as Vince McMahon guys are still in the company. Well, Brian, Road Dogg James, I believe that's his name, He's a Vince McMahon guy. He thinks the same way Vince McMahon thinks, right? He has the same outdated mindset that Vince had and Pritchard had, and Pritchard's still in the company as far as I know, and Laurinaitis had, and Kevin Dunn had, and all of the Vince guys, right? They all think the same, right? Secret Hervis is a dumb name. I'm just going to be completely honest. It's dumb. It's stupid. But this should have been the match. This should have been a 20-minute match between the Secret Hervis and Lyra and Bayley, because the other teams in the middle of it meant absolutely shit. They each had like 2 minutes each as a team to lose, right? And then ultimately you have Lyra Valkyrie and Bayley win this thing. And I just have a lot of problems with that. Bayley had a surefire rivalry with Roxanne Perez that you could have put either on WrestleMania or on Stand and Deliver. And rather than do that, you put Bayley in a tag team to get her on the, because Bayley has to be on the card. It's Bayley, right? She has to wrestle over the weekend. It's Bayley, right? But she would have worked on Stand and Deliver. I haven't looked at the Stand and Deliver card as a whole, but you could have put her on it. And then Lyra Valkyrie, she's your women's IC champion. Not only do they not care about the women's tag team champions, they don't care about their brand new belts that they tried to sell us on, and they haven't worked. That's the truth of the fact, right? I was high on them, but I told you guys that if they weren't going to book them right, if they weren't going to give them potential, then they're going to immediately fail, just like these women's tag team champions. But here's the question, right? We have a women's tag team division. You're having a gauntlet match. Kayden and Katana make sense. PFC makes sense. As much as I hate the name, the Secret Hervis are a legitimate tag team. Randomly thrown together, but they are a legitimate tag team. Alba and Piper have some chemistry together. They've worked together. Alba's been tag team champion before, as have, I believe, Piper. So, like, there's legitimacy in them in the division. Meechan and B-Fab are just thrown together. Maxine and Maxine and Natalya randomly thrown together, right? Lyra and Bayley were going to win no matter what. So how about you put some other legitimate tag teams, replace Meechan and B-Fab for Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend, who are very capable NXT tag teams, who would make a lot of sense as to why they would go after those titles, and replace Maxine Dupri and Natalya. Or how about this? Here's logistical sense. Sol Ruka was already there. You know how I know this? Because she won the Speed Championship. It's not official yet as far as WWE lore. It'll probably air next week. But in the WWE Speed recording, she won the Speed Championship. So she was there. Why not bring Zarya there and put them? I know they're on Stand and Deliver, but they're a tag team. Why wouldn't they want to be in a match? They're not going to win the gauntlet. Why wouldn't they want to wrestle for an opportunity to win the championship? Or why would you not put someone like Fallon Henley and JC Jane, who are a tag team, or Tatum Paxley and Gigi Dolin? And I know you don't want to debut a lot of people, but this would make a lot of sense for a gauntlet match where NXT has the most women's tag teams. Carly Bright and Kendall Gray, something like that, right? That are actual tag teams. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. There's zero care. Delete the belt. Delete it off the damn card. It's a waste of space. This is a filler episode where they failed to maximize minutes to tell stories. Because Triple H is done with the storytelling. He's just trying to get through April 19th and April 20th. He's trying to get through it so that he can start the next story, right? And it's stupid. I'm just going to be honest with you. Last night was a big waste of time. It was the definition of a filler episode. And you didn't maximize your minutes. You can't get Natalya and Maxine over when they wrestle for 3 minutes. You can't get B-Fab over when she gets a minute and a half in the ring. Right? This was, if you wanted Bayley and Lyra to win, just have a standard match. Give them 20 minutes against the Secret Harvest. Have them tell a story within that match of resiliency and you know, these girls have never tagged together before. They were just bitter enemies in the ring on Monday, but there's a resiliency here from Lyra Valkyria and from Bayley. And you could tell a story with that, rather than have them fight a gauntlet match against teams that are the easiest teams to beat. Right? You see what I'm saying? So that's my thoughts on SmackDown. I ain't got much more to say. I've given you a lot of content this week. Hope you've enjoyed all of it. Hope it's been great. Hope it's been of the quality you expected out of me. But I ain't got much more to give you for this week. So I hope you guys enjoyed this special episode. The last episode of the week. I will see you guys on Tuesday when me and Wavy D predict WrestleMania. And until then, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I'll see you on Tuesday. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.